Come. Let's sing together. Let's bring together. And again, the deeper chaver is so beautiful. But let's use a few moments in Miras Hashem to be able to really connect together through Shira to make a lechaim together. And Miras Hashem get into the Rebbe's Torah together. In la 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 la. It's only for Shabbos. La la la, ay ay la 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 la.
Ay 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 ay
All right, Chavra. It is an incredible schos, Baruch Hashem, to be able to begin our limud tonight. Steve, our sponsors.
Sponsors for tonight, my three Daf Yomi boys. Sounds like my three sons. My three Daf Yomi boys. There's a fourth one, actually, that's chipped in. In honor of his engagement, my engagement, and upcoming marriage to Jordana Herschel.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
Yahu and Devor Ramanfar for the safe return of the hostages, the safety of the IDF soldiers, and an end to the war.
Shkoyach.
The Gordon family, thanking Hashem for Ari Gordon's successful surgery earlier today. Ari Daniel Ben Shoshana Sari should have a report shlema. And I just want to wish on the side of Mazel tov to Joe Markovich, whose upcoming wedding is this Sunday, and welcome to Sunday's Almond.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Mazel tov to Reb Joe. And mazel tov to Rav Matt, the Mirat Hashem, on the double bris of his twin grandsons tomorrow morning. B'sha'a tovo u'metzlachos. Mazel tov. Mirat Hashem. Yeah, double bris. Two babies. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. All right, Osai. A good Ner of Shabbos. It is a schos Baruch Hashem to be able to have everyone here. I also want to give a very special thank you to Reb Tzvi and to Reb Yaakov for the. You just understand that, like a spread like this, as they say in Latin, is not pashat. It's not pashat. Like, this is mamish, like really, like the malaminateva, and mamish, like, you know, it comes really. People come in, they spend time. They have to drink beer, and you know, while they're preparing, and like there's a lot of mesiras nefesh.
I thought that was optional.
No, it's apparently a necessity. And Baruch Hashem, and there's a lot of mesiras nefesh, but you know, they have to be out of the house, so we, you know, never. Everyone's going to sign off over here. I say, but really, just you should know that really, Reb Tzvi and Reb Yaakov every week, just to make sure that really is like such a beautiful and incredible spread each week. We thank them so much. It's such a blessing. I also just want to make mention, even though try not to really blend, you know, fundraising with the ship. But Reb Jeremy is here, and I want to just mention that, you know, Emir Hashem, in a week from this, next week, not this coming week, the following week, it's December 17th through the 19th. Emir Hashem is our crowdfunding campaign, and it is hands down the most important fundraiser our shul has ever had, probably in the history of our shul. And one of the things that we need most are ambassadors, which those of you who are familiar with these campaigns is to set up a page in Emir Hashem to highlight how incredible and beautiful and special the shul is to all of your friends and family, and to show them what a schus they would have in participating in this incredible campaign. And I will say again, it's not schnurring, it's not asking, it's giving people an opportunity to participate in something dramatically beautiful, holy, cathartic, and life-altering for all of Klal Yisrael. You're doing them a favor. No one is doing you a favor by giving anything. You're enabling them to have additional zechuyos. We really need all hands on deck. This year is just one of the many, many things that we do as part of a shul. one of the many things that we do as part of a Shul Baruch Hashem to lift ourselves up, to lift our families up, to lift Klal Yisrael up. So I know no one really likes the fundraise. No one really enjoys it that much, and it often feels awkward to people, unnatural to people. But this is really important. And if you want to be able to continue to Miras Hashem, do these things and be able to provide for such beautiful outputs of Aliyah, as Chazal tell us, Emin Kamach in Torah. Right? If there's no flower, there's no Torah. We have to be successful in our Gashmias in order to be able to sustain our Ruchnias. So it's so important to get involved in this campaign, to be an ambassador. There's a kickoff event this month at Shabbos. I think we have blanketed everyone with information on WhatsApp groups and emails. You might have seen it. Yeah, we should put a WhatsApp out. You might have seen it. You might have seen it. Correct. You're right. You'll see on every group. But really, Chavra, I will tell you, many of us are spending, our waking hours and even some of our sleeping hours trying to Miras Hashem allow this to be successful. And if we all lift together, the lift becomes manageable and the lift becomes so much lighter than any of us would have ever expected. So I would just ask everyone to please participate in some way. Become an ambassador, certainly to contribute in some way. You can see Reb Jeremy. Everyone knows the Jeremy Lassen? Fine-looking fellow at the end. Right? Our vice president of our Kehila, if you'd like to get involved because you feel you have to get involved, because we all have to get involved, then please see Jeremy. He'll help you out. And the Miras Hashem special kickoff event is coming Matzei Shabbos. Miras Kosh Baruch, who should just bless all of our endeavors with incredible Hatzlacha. So let's begin. So we are continuing. We're skipping just a little bit over here to section Lamed Beis. Which is just, there's a piece here, which is actually, again, we're not skipping it because it's not important and beautiful. It's magnificently beautiful and incredible. It just more falls into like the realm of a tefillah, of a prayer from the Piyajatzna, more than per se like a teaching. So I want to skip a little bit. We'll come back to it, but we're on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. It's page Shin Nun Tes, section Lamed Beis. Shin Nun Tes is the page number, section Lamed Beis. So I must say, this is a really incredible and beautiful piece here in front of us. There are plenty of sheets if anyone needs. Shin Nun Tes, Lamed Beis. So the Rebbe writes as follows. Once I get ready for this, he says, "Harbe Yoser Yakel Lo LaAdam Lilmot Shanim Kamos Basmada Af Listagiy Pachol Kocho." So listen to this. The Rebbe says it is so much easier for a person to learn Torah for years and years and years, right? To learn Torah in incredible volume. And to be able to go ahead and just learn, literally translated, Limot Shanim Kamos Basmada, to learn many years. Kamos means like a quantity. To learn a large quantity of years, Basmada, with intensity. Af listagif b'kol kocho. And you could even shtag, right? You could learn, you could grow with all of your strength, all of your heart, all your entirety. Me'asher la'avod as Hashem yom echad be'echios tova va'amitis gam lefiyas agasa. The Rebbe said, this is such a profound statement. The Rebbe says that essentially, it is easier to learn Torah with intensity, right, from years on end, than it is to serve Hashem in purity, even for one moment. You hear the profundity of this? It is easier to learn Torah in depth for many years than it is to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in complete purity, even for one moment. So I'll say, this is a theme that we've seen many times throughout the Piyajatzna. I was actually, I just started, actually it's nice, I started a Chabura tonight. There was a group of boys from Ner Yisrael who wanted to start a Chabura on something. And I think they were sheepishly asking for Chasidus. You know, yeshiva guys don't know how to ask for Chasidus, you know. It's like maybe something like a little bit different, you know, something a little bit different. I'm like, what do you want? Like Buddha? What are you looking for? New Testament? Like what do you want? Like maybe Chasidus? Oh yeah, Chasidus, yeah. One of the things that we were talking about tonight, for these boys, it's for many of them like their first exposure to Chasidus. I mean, they're base medrash guys, but like first exposure to Chasidus. So one of the things that we spoke about, which was really, really beautiful, was this concept of Meribos, say in the Rebbe in Sav Zeros. Well, we didn't hit in Sav Zeros. Remember when he spoke about turning 40 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And remember again, he went through like, what's my avod like? What should I work on? And remember again what the Rebbe went through? Should I learn more Torah? What was his answer? Should I learn more Torah?
I'm learning.
I don't waste any time. Should I stop falling prey to my desires, my wants, my inclinations? No. conquered those already. Conquered those already. Aye, so what's left? What's left? Pashut Lios Yehudi. To be a simple Jew. So I'll say, it's interesting that sometimes the hardest thing in life is to be a simple Jew. Right? And I'll say, I think about this a lot. Like, I think as we get older, we speak about this often. As I get older, I speak about this often. That sometimes we begin to realize that sometimes the hardest thing to be in life is simple. Right? It's so much easier when you think that life is complex and there are all these complex systems, all these complex layers. So, you know, if I think that my Avodas Hashem is about how many hours a day I can learn, okay, I can do that, right? So then it means I have to learn a certain number of hours and meet certain metrics. But then when I begin to realize that the truth is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me, in addition to all of the learning, is also just to serve Him with a pure heart. So suddenly, again, that ability to achieve that pure heart, that ability to just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in complete simplicity, with what in Hasidus is called bittul, which just means a giving over of one's self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu, I give myself over to you. I give myself to you. You know, in Hasidus, I just mentioned, there's this word bittul. So bittul is often translated as self-negation. Self-negation never sounds good, right? No matter how you translate it, it just sounds terrible. Self-negation sounds like I'm negating myself. That can't be good. That's not how Hasidus understands it. In Hasidus, bittul ultimately means that it's not really about what I want out of life, but it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me and from me out of life. It's not about what I want. It's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm mevatel. I literally, again, I choose to sublimate my wants, my desires, myself, to the Ratzon al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in Chassidus, it's understood that that's the highest level. It's not Chassidus. We see this already in Pirkei Avos. Ase Ritzono Kirtzoncha. Make your will like Hashem's will. In other words, that so often, if the theme I was like, what's our greatest tension in life? Right? If I were to ask you, what's the greatest tension in life? What would you say? Greatest tension. Greatest tension. Oh, everyone's full. No one has any tension anymore. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
I want to do what I want to do.
Right? At the end of the day, control. And really, like, don't tell me, we've spoken about this many times, right? Don't tell me what to do. Right? At the end of the day, it's fascinating, right? You think we spoke about this just a few weeks ago, right? Chaim Shmulevitz, didn't we talk about this? All right, if I said it, just stop me. I thought maybe it's a different show we did it in. When Chaim Shmulevitz points out, he talks about the psychology of sin. I thought we did this. The psychology of sin. I can't compete with poppers. That's the problem also. I could give the same shiur every single week. You know, so it's not the...
It was this morning
we did it. That's right. So I'll tell you this beautiful idea of Chaim Shmulevitz. To me, it's one of my favorite ideas. He talks about the psychology of sin. Like, why do people commit averos? So, you know, people have all common ideas. Gaiva, arrogance, taiva, desire. Chaim Shmulevitz says it's something much simpler. I don't want God telling me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. You tell me to come to shul. Don't tell me what to do. Right? You tell me I have to give, I have to tithe my earnings. Don't tell me what to do. Shabbos, don't tell me what to do. Now, when you speak it out, it sounds so ridiculous, right? But Chaim Shlevis brings a raya. He brings the story, I'm almost positive he did this, of Shimi ben Gera. Remember again, David HaMelech, his son Avshalom, revolted. Right? David HaMelech does not want to fight his son, so he fled Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. As he's fleeing Yerushalayim, this guy Shimi ben Gera, who was a cousin of Shaul, comes out and starts cursing him and throwing stuff at him. And David's generals want to execute Shimi ben Gera. David says, "Leave him alone." Okay. Fast forward, David HaMelech, you know, Avshalom loses the rebellion. David comes. Fast forward, David's on his deathbed. He calls in Shlomo and he says, "Shlomo, take care of Shimi ben Gera." You know, that's that quotations. Take care, right? Take care of Shimi ben Gera. Okay, David dies. First order of business, Shlomo calls in Shimi ben Gera. Says, "Shimi, here's the deal. Right? I'm giving you a palatial estate in Yerushalayim. It's yours. You never have to work another day in your life. You're supported by the king. There's one rule. What's the one rule? Can't leave Yerushalayim." And I will say, I don't have to take a show of hands. Who wouldn't take that deal? Who wouldn't take that deal? I'd even do it for an apartment. Forget about a palatial estate, right? Like, but certainly, again, palatial estate in Yerushalayim doesn't. I'm sorry.
Where would that apartment?
In Katamonim, of course. It's only right. You know, whatever. Right? So Lemaisa, thank you for the setup over there. And also, this has been sponsored by. Right? So Lemaisa. So and what happens in the very next parak? Right, in the next parak, the pasuk says that Shimon ben Gera's slave, his servant, escaped. Shimon ben Gera gets on the donkey and he runs after him. Shlomo says he left Yerushalayim. Shlomo says, "I told you, you can't leave Yerushalayim," and he executed him. So, Rosh Hashanah says, obviously this was a setup. Obviously, Shlomo knew that Shimon ben Gera was going to leave Yerushalayim. How did he know it? And what's the answer? Rosh says something so beautiful. It says, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is the most wonderful place in the world if you're there of your own volition. If you're there because you choose to be there. But if you're there because someone else is forcing you to be there, then it becomes like a prison. And what does a person do when you put them in a prison? They try to do anything they could do to escape, to flex their muscles of self-autonomy. Chaim Shalavitz posits that deep down in the psyche of the Jew, why do we sin? Because we also think about this. We've spoken about this so many times, right? Chait never makes any sense, right? If you just take out a simple idea, take your best, juiciest, most enjoyable sin, right? I see the glimmer in some of your eyes. Don't get carried away with thinking about this too much over here. I don't want you to get too distracted. Right, so think about, right? Like the best Avera, like that you love, that is just so good, so fantastic. And just take out a piece and do not discuss this with each other, right? Just take a piece of paper and just make two columns, pros and cons. Which column always wins? The cons always wins. I'll tell you why. It's very simple. No matter how many pros you have on the pros side, those pros will always be finite and temporal. Right? Whatever benefit you're gonna get from the sin, it has a short shelf life. Right? How long can you enjoy a sin for? It is limited to the amount of time you have in this earth. Versus the fallout from sin could be eternal. So when you look at the pros versus the cons, the cons always outweigh the pros when it comes to sin. Yet, we always do it. So what's the pshat? Chaim Shalavitz posits it's because deep down, I'm flexing my muscles of self-autonomy. God, I know you're God. Great creator of heaven and earth. Good for you. Shkoyach. Right? I'm Shmuel Silber. Right? And don't tell me what to do. Now when you say it, it sounds so absolutely ridiculous. But as Chaim Shalavitz said, it's absolutely the psychology of sin. Because it's not the pshat like I'm some kind of animal that can't control my impulses. Because if that was the case, then I'd be doing all kinds of stuff all the time. And we don't. We have self-restraint. We have the ability to hold ourselves back at certain times. But yet, deep down, I don't want to be told what to do, even if it's by the master of the universe. So the Piagetna says over here something so incredibly... So that's why... Sometimes the most difficult part of being a Pashat Yid, of being a simple Jew, and just worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a simple way is that it requires a giving over of the self to Hashem. It is this, and to a certain degree, what I'm giving over is a certain degree of autonomy. I'm giving over my autonomy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not complete autonomy, right? Because I still maintain a lot of daily autonomy about how I live, what I do. But what it means to be a Pashat Yid and what it means to reach like the holy and simplest level of Avodas Hashem is I give myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm not going to live a life where there's a conflict between what I want and what God wants, because in my life there's one thing. What's the one thing? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's it. There's no collision course, right? There's no friction between my needs and God's needs. All there is the Ratzon Hashem. So we'll say, now what we're describing, it sounds very simple to say, but it's incredibly complex to reach this level, which is why the Piagetna says it is so much easier to learn Torah in depth and with incredible intensity for years and years and years than it is to experience even one pure moment of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because a pure moment of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires me to sublimate the self to God, to sublimate my will to God's will, to give myself over to the Ribono Shel Olam. Bosai, that is the hardest thing to do in life. Daf Yomi, Mishnah Yomi, Ketzer Shulchan Aruch Yomi, Zohar Yomi, Kabbalah Yomi, Cooking Yomi, whatever Yomis you want to throw in there, right? Sleeping Yomi, right? Whatever you want to put in there, right? Lamaisa, all that stuff, I could spend the whole day on Yomis, no problem. Knock it out, love it, fantastic, great. But to give myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, to stop and to say, you know what? Life is not about what I want, but it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me to want, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to want, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, to find that one moment of purity is so incredibly difficult. But the Rebbe goes on, he says, Uma anu, uma kol avadasenu, af liyomech ravoda, hatova gam la'asagasenu, kol kach kashal anu lagia. So Rebbe says, okay. So we'll say, so this is one of these things where like you read it and you're like, okay, like this is a shtickle depressing, right? Why is it a shtickle depressing? Why? Or maybe very depressing, maybe not just a shtick depressing, maybe very depressing, right? Why? Because what the Rebbe seems to be pointing out over here is the one thing that I want most in this world is perhaps the most difficult thing to actually acquire. So now, what should I do? So what should I do? Like, I want to reach that level. But the Rebbe is saying, it's not that it's impossible, nothing's impossible, but the Rebbe is highlighting over here is that it's so incredibly difficult. So what do I do? So what do I do? What do you do in life when the thing that you want more than anything and the thing that you need more than anything is the most difficult thing in the world to acquire? What do you do? So baby steps. Look what he writes. The Rebbe says, Aval, al nisyayish, don't despair. Don't despair. V'yadenu lo narpa. And literally, again, don't loosen your hands, which is also in his present. Don't give up hope. Ki ha'avoda, hi avoda senu. So they will say, here's the great part. And this is the most beautiful thing about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is not about the results. It's about the effort. It's about the effort. And that's true for so many reasons. Number one, because so often in life, I don't control the results for a variety of different reasons. But the Rebbe says something so incredibly amazing. The Rebbe writes that at the end of the day, what is my job? My job is to try every single day to reach this level of simplicity, of pashtus, of giving myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as long as I'm trying to get there each and every day, then I'm successful. But I didn't get there. I'm still sinning. I'm still doing my own thing. I'm still shirking the yoke of God. I'm still flexing my muscles of self-autonomy. I'm still telling God, at least subconsciously, leave me alone. Don't tell me what to do. But I'm trying. And as long as I'm trying, then I'm successful. I will say, one of the most... Yes.
Avoda is tefillah, or avoda is when you're working?
This avoda means avodas Hashem. Now remember again.
No, what does that mean?
What
is avoda means?
It can mean tefillah, Torah, ruchnius.
Nothing to do with
work. Not necessarily. Not necessarily in your job. Like not necessarily your physical work.
So when you work, you can cheat, but then you do tefillah.
No.
That's what I'm asking.
No.
Every action you do, you have to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it.
Yes, correct.
Does that mean?
That,
or this,
yes, that's
over
that,
here in the context.
No. Everything you're doing in life, you have to give over your ratzon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon.
That's all it means.
That's every, correct. So whether it's in your business, or whether it's in your davening, or whether it's in your learning, or whether it's just in your relationships, give over your ratzon in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. And just recognize that it's one of the hardest things in the world. And sometimes you may never even reach that finish line, but that's okay. As long as you're trying, as long as you're putting in the effort, as long as you're putting in the avodah, you're a success. Ki avoda hi avoda senu, v'igia senu im teshuka senu mataras chayenu. We'll say it's the effort. It's the effort ultimately, again, at the end of the day, that is the purpose of all life. V'osam lekel HaKadosh Nakdish. So we'll say a really beautiful idea. That at the end of the day, we'll say, now, I just want to mention, you do have to be a little bit careful about this, because sometimes people think, oh, you see, it's not really about the results, it's just about the effort. So you have to be careful about that, because sometimes, so it's only not about the results when it's not about the results. But when it is about the results, then it's about the results. Okay, I know that made a lot of sense. What do I mean by that? But I'll say, there are many things in life that we do control.
Like raising money for the show.
Right. Good, thank you. Right? There are many things that we control. Like, we'll say, if you think about it, like how I use my time, right? How I structure my day. I control my davening. I control my learning. I control at least some part of my relationships. There's someone else that says, I only control my part, right? I control so many things, but yet there are so many other things that at the end of the day, I don't control. The avoda in life is to try to assert control. In this context, control means I want to try to control my wants and my desires in order to give them over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People say, think about this. You ever have a moment in life, I think we've all had moments in life, where you feel you've encountered, I think more often than not, this occurs in times of crisis. We have such an overwhelming crisis you're experiencing, and you have that moment where you realize that I'm drowning, like I'm lost. There's nothing I can do here. So what do? Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hashleich Yehavcha al Hashem. I cast my burden on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's that moment where like I recognize I am not in control of this. I give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I put it all. In other words, there's no me and God, right? There's just God. And I give myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I will say, if you've ever had a moment in that, like that, in that in life, how do you feel afterwards? You feel liberated. It's liberating. I've mentioned this before. I remember a couple of years ago, I had a really acute crisis. And usually I'm like a planner and a micromanager, and I'm avoiding eye contact with Jeremy as I say this, right? I'm the micromanager and I'm the person who likes to plan like this. And it was one of the first times in my life where I had a crisis where I was absolutely out of control. Not out of control. I was not in control because there were other people who were just involved in things. And I the truth is, I remember this so clearly that I had this moment where I said, you know what? I'm just going to sit down in my study at home. I'm going to open up a Sefer Tehillim, shutting off my phone. I'm just going to say Tehillim for 45 minutes, just uninterrupted. That's all. So that's what I'm doing. There's nothing for me to do over here. And I remember the feeling, it's going to sound strange, but it was a feeling of incredible elation. It was the lightest I ever felt in my entire life. And it's strange because I was in the middle of this crisis. And like you would think a person would feel so bogged down. But like that moment where I said, okay, Hashem Baruch Hu, you know what? I'm in your hands. I'm giving myself over to you. I spent my whole life like flexing my muscles of self-autonomy. My whole life saying no. My whole life putting my will before your will. And I'm not doing that now. I'm giving myself over to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that moment, there is such a liberating feeling of just being one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference just is, what happens? Crises resolve. And then what happens? Tefillin goes back on the Tefillin, not the Tefillin. Yeah. Right? The Tehillim goes back on the shelf. Right? And okay. And it's great. And I'll tell you, like, there are moments, and this sounds strange, there are moments I think to myself, I don't want the crisis again. But I really miss that feeling. And I'll be honest, I've been unable to replicate it, you know, in that same way. There was something about that helplessness that allowed me to just give it all over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to sound strange, to a certain degree, experience a happiness that I don't think I've ever felt before in my life. Again, I don't want to come to happiness that way again, but it's fascinating. So the Piagetsna says, this is the goal, and it's one of the hardest things to achieve in life. But as long as each and every day we're working towards it, then ultimately, again, that's something.
I was going to say that. What happens when you pick up the phone? You experience that. You lose that control.
You lose it. Again. Yeah. Well, so that's
about this. You almost make you strong. I mean, that's Hashem telling you what to do. He's giving you
correct
a to learn from it and grow from it and come out.
100%. 100%.
How do you take that and run with it?
So that's the great challenge in life. The great challenge in life in general is, how do you take inspirational moments and bottle them and take them with you? It's one of the hardest things in life, but that's our avoda. But I will say, but the bottom line, and this is what's important to understand, is never let the lack of success, chas v'shalom, make you feel like a failure. I know that sounds like a strange thing. Never let the lack of success make you feel like a failure. The only time you're a failure in life is when you stop trying. As long as each and every day I'm trying to reach this level of just giving myself, giving my ratzon over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, As long as I'm trying, then I'm a success. Take a look at section Lamed Gimel. Yes.
But the varying levels of trying.
Of course.
Right? So you could be trying a minimum.
All of these things, there's a spectrum. There's always going to be a range, right? A person can be trying minimally. So that's probably not enough trying.
Sure, for sure.
Correct. It's now again, it's also individualized. Everything depends where you're coming from, who you are. Like, what's your starting point? All right, the boss, let's go. Lamed Gimel. So we'll say, right, the Piaget now. Lamazen ishtomim, ano mide osav shalashota machshavas hamashoga. So we'll say, this is a great piece. Piaget says, you know, sometimes we see people and we're like, they're absolutely out of their mind. So he says, you know, you look at people, it's a literature, Lamazen ishtomim, ano mide osav shalashota machshavas hamashoga. Why are we so, like, bewildered by the mashugina? Right, there are people. I will say, all of us have people like this, right? Or all of us are thought of by other people as this, right? So let me say again, right? You look at someone, and you're like, what they're doing and the way they're acting makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't make any sense. And right, we all have someone that we're looking at, and we're like, what you're doing and how you're acting and how you're behaving and how you're living makes no sense. The Rebbe says, Leymar. We look at a person and sometimes realize, like, how is your brain so broken? Like, you know, what's the matter with you that, like, you're making such poor decisions? You know, you're making such poor decisions. You're not operating in the right way. Like, how, like, what's wrong that you're just acting in this fashion? Yeah, Mishia, if you show them a sugar. So he says, you know, both say, this is an incredible piece. It's like all of us have people in life that we look at and we're like, Nebuch, you so missed the boat, right? Your actions don't make any sense. Your life, what you're doing, makes no sense. You don't have it together. And right, we stand in judgment of other people because we think that their actions are so poor, right? And the way that they're living is so backwards. And yet the Rebbe writes, Yet, interestingly enough, what don't we see about say? What don't we see? We don't see ourselves. Human nature, says the Piagetsna, is that we see that which is broken, and we see that which is inconsistent, and we see that which is backwards in every other person. But often we fail to see the things that are broken and backwards in ourselves. So we'll say this is a sentiment that we find throughout Chazal, this concept of, you know, Chazal expressed, you know, by Tzaras. By Tzaras, the aloha is, you know, Tzaras is like the skin lesion. So if you get it, what's the aloha? You have to go to the Kohen. In other words, even if you are an expert in Tzaras, you can't self-diagnose. You have to go to the Kohen. He has to pronounce it Tzaras or not Tzaras. And the Lashon of the Gemara is, Ein Adam Roa Nige Atzmo. A person cannot examine his own blemishes. Now, I will say, now that becomes a very profound statement because essentially what it means is, none of us see our own blemishes. I could tell you everything that is broken in everyone around me, right? I can go in alphabetical order, egregious order. I can start with my wife's family. I can go over to my family. I can go over to my friends, to my this, to that. I can go through anyone and everyone and tell you what's wrong with them, right? It's incredible, right? We'll say, we could do this. I could tell you why this one's wrong, why that one's wrong, why this one. And yet, I have such an inability to introspect. Ein adam roa nige atzmo. A person cannot see what is broken inside of them. And I will say, we go through life like this, and this one's a mashugina, and this one's crazy, and this one's this, and this one's that. And so, what about you? I'm fine. But it's incredible. It's right. Sometimes I will say, no, it's frustrating when you walk around and you're like, how come everyone in the world is broken except me? I'm like the last guy in the world who has it together. And meanwhile, again, what is everybody thinking about me? Nebuch, so broken, right? So tzibrochen, so backwards. Ein adam roa nige atzmo. And I will say, this is incredibly important because there are people who go through life and they fail to acknowledge that they are blind to their own imperfections. And that's incredibly dangerous. Because, in other words, I'm going to be blind to my own imperfections, but I have to be aware that I'm blind to my own imperfections. In other words, The only thing that's worse about being blind to your own imperfections is not acknowledging that you're blind to your own imperfections. And this is why, again, this is why Chazal tell us that in life, it is so important to have someone in your life who's going to tell you like it is. Right? Whoever that is, whether it's a spouse, a Rebbe, a friend, whoever it is, but someone who loves you enough to say, hey, you are really broken. I mean, don't say it like that, right? But you understand. but like, the way you're acting and what you're doing is really inappropriate. So even when we talk about this, right, how do we process this? We're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to call up my friend tonight and really tell him how broken he is. You know, he really, right? It's like a call to action. You know, you're right. You know, I've been holding back all these years from my friends and from my family. Tonight is the night I'm telling everybody how broken they are. Yeah, okay, that's not the takeaway message from this, right? Don't make any phone calls. The goal of this, it says the Piagetzna, is how incredible is it that we look around the world and everyone's a Meshugana, but yet I fail so badly at self-diagnosis, right? I fail so badly at introspection. I don't see my own mishigas. I don't see my own craziness.
Physician, heal thyself.
Exactly. See, and both, I want to point out, Chazal are filled with different ideas. You know, one of my favorite expressions is, Ein chavosh matirs asur beisas surim. Right? The person who's incarcerated can't free himself from jail. In other words, when you're in the jail, often you can't figure out how to get yourself out. So sometimes when I'm the one who's broken, I can't even see the broken kite. Now again, I will say, this is not true for everyone. There are some people who are incredibly self-aware, and there are people who are able to see. They're objectively able to look from the outside in at themselves. There are, but it's a rarity. Most of us don't really possess that skill set, and even if we do, we don't possess it in full measure. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, Ki l'chol ish, look what he writes, this is really incredible. I'll say, Ki l'chol ish, mi d'nefula achas orabos. So both said, this is so profound. Every person, look at his lashon, has a mida nefula. What's a mida nefula? Something broken inside of him. We all have something broken. Now he writes, achas orabos. You have at least one. But what? You may also have a lot. Right? So I will say this lashon of, you have at least one, but you may also have a lot. A mida, I will say, but this, the, I don't know, I've never seen this formulation before. A mida nefula, which literally means a fallen trait. Why does the Piagetzna, he doesn't say like a mida ra'a, he says mida nefula. Now why is it that he refers to it in this way?
The opposite of Rabbi Nachman's
Nekuda Tova. But I think also remember that the idea is over here, Amida Nefula means like this, right? We saw this in Rab Tzadok not so long ago, that in life, there's no such thing as a bad Mida, right? Midos are a manipulation of energy. Right? Hashem Baruch Hu gives us energy, and then I choose to utilize that energy in a certain way, and that energy manifests as a Mida. So for example, right? Kas, anger. Right? What's kas? Kas is energy, right? Kas is excitement. Kas is passion. If you misuse it, it comes out as anger. If you channel it in the right way, it can become zrizos, alacrity, right? So the energy is good. It's all just the shaila ultimately, again, about how the energy is going to be channeled. So that's why the Rebbe calls something negative, this is so beautiful, something negative inside of me is not a bad thing. There's a mida that has fallen, a mida nefula, something that was high, right? Something that was on a high level, and now, unfortunately, again, it suffered a degradation. It fell down. He says, and again, we'll say, it's incredible. If you notice, he doesn't say there are some people who don't have a mida nefula. He says, ki l'chol ish. We'll say, what does ki l'chol ish mean? Ki l'chol ish?
Every single person.
Every single person has a mida nefula. And we'll say, how affirming is this? Right? Sometimes we think that if there's something broken inside of me, so there must be something wrong with me. I'm a failure. If I wasn't such a failure, I'd be totally whole. That's not true. The only time you're totally whole is when you're dead. Right? A lot of good things happen when you're dead. Right? In other words, that right, you don't have to worry about really a lot of the things that you sleep. Right? You catch up on all that sleep. Catch up on all the sleep you wanted. Sleep for as long as you want. No alarm clock. No snoozing. Sleep away. Right? No tithes, no struggles, no midos, no fulos. It's great. But when you're alive, just understand, as long as you're breathing, there's going to be a mid and a fula. at least one, possibly many. Lezeh avara or lezeh kas. One person has avara. Rabbah says also such an interesting formulation. What's avaraba? Avaraba. Avara. Avara is I love the wrong things. I love the wrong things. Or kas, anger. Lezeh hisparos. Some people get carried away with their ego. Lezeh v'chulei. V'chol echad be'in ha'shayach l'midos ha'nefula. Machshavos kol kach shtuyos. Misnagdos af hafachios min ha'secha. Now, we'll say, now this is incredible. And we'll have to stop for tonight. But we'll say, but what happens with midos nefulos? What happens with it? It's incredible. The mind is such a powerful tool. Because what does the mind do about our midos nefulos? What does it do? See, instead what it does is it rationalizes it away. So either what it does is, there's a couple different approaches, right? Most common approach is right, survey says, right, most common approach is,
understands, he gets me.
Not even that, ignore it, right? Just pretend it away. It doesn't, right, there's no need to talk about it because it doesn't exist. And if I don't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist. And people deal with most problems in life in that way. Just ignore it away and it'll go away at some point in time. Or next step after that, right, is rationalization. Yeah. It's really not bad because of whatever is. But the Rebbe says, so it's interesting. So again, we'll stop over here for tonight, but just understand, he's like, we all have people in this world and we look at them like, oh, such a Meshuggah. As if to say, they're the Meshuggah, but I'm the totally rational and normal and sane one. Meanwhile, the Rebbe says, we all have our Meshuggahs. We all have that Mid Nefula. And often either we're just totally ignoring it or totally rationalizing it. Instead
of...
What
it is.
I'm sorry?
We have to know what it is.
Have to know what it is. You have to have enough self-awareness.
Well, but what if we don't?
Okay, so then of course, without self-awareness, nothing gets off the ground.
Don't worry. So make a phone call later. Make a phone call and ask somebody else.
What do you see? Or just, a person could develop self-awareness. You don't have to go shopping around. You have to put on your big boy pants and actually do a real self-introspection. Look, it's not rocket science to discover what's broken inside of me. You just have to be willing to actually confront it and deal with it. Shabbos says, so we'll stop over here for tonight, but Emirat Hashem, we'll go ahead and we'll pick up Beersheba with this Mid Nefula. Now, it's very Labor Day tonight, no? Very Labor Day. Like a lot of... Okay, Chevra, next week is going to be a salad bar. It was a little bit too late today. And that's how we have Myriv in the shul. Shkach, everybody.
Hey, Barry.
I'm sorry. I don't know.